Hello, everybody, and welcome to Livingston. This is our podcast, Welcome to Livingston, where we talk all things Livingston County. My name is Don Pakella.
And I'm Angela Pakella, and we're with the Pakella Group Real Estate Professional.
Yes, so usually we have people come on local businesses, local causes, events, and just talk about things happening in the county. But every once in a while, we take a step back and we talk about real estate because that is our profession. We are realtors.
It is.
Yeah. Yes.
But it's so much fun just in terms of connecting with people in our community and to present our community to those that are here and those that are thinking about coming here.
No, I love it. I love all the guests that we have in to just talk about, and they surprise me every week with the different businesses and the different things going on and how much people put into the community.
Absolutely. That's why we love living here and working here and just being part of it.
Yes. And speaking of that work, so we're going to talk about real estate a little bit. And what we're going to talk about today is real estate, and it's kind of financing non-real estate a little bit. I wanted to talk about appraisals.
Yeah. Well, because it affects a buyer hugely, and it very much can affect the seller.
Yes. And if you're doing a refinance, it affects the homeowner.
Yes.
Right. So it's this aspect of financing of getting a loan for your house or for getting a home equity line of credit for your house or a HELOC or a refinance, that the bank comes in to determine what they think the value of your home is.
Right. Isn't it interesting that, you know, through the whole real estate process, there's not one pinpoint value, right? A lot of times people might look on Zillow. That's frequently not correct, by the way. But, you know, it's all the different perspective, the perspective of what is the house worth to the homeowner, to the seller, to the buyer. But in this episode, we're going to focus in on how is it determined how much the house is worth to the bank.
Yes, 100%. Because, you know, you brought up a good point there. So you could be listing your house and there could be a lot of demand on it, and a buyer comes in and they love the house and they say, I'm going to offer $60,000 over asking. Right.
Yeah.
But if they're not cash and they're getting a loan, it doesn't matter the number that they're offering. While it's important, what's more important is what the bank has to say about that number.
Cause if they're not willing to lend it to them,
right,
then you're smoked.
Basically. Right. So what an appraisal is, when you are financing your loan for your house or you're trying to get an equity line of credit, which is another loan on your home, the bank comes in and they say, well, this is how much money we think the house is worth and what they're willing to loan for the house, right? Or if you're getting an equity line of credit, a lot of times they're willing to loan you up to 80% of the house's value or up to 90% of the house's value. So that number becomes really important because you're basing everything else off of it. You know, if you're refinancing or such.
Right. Not many people are refinancing right now. Interest rates have gotten kind of high, but we are definitely seeing people getting those HELOCs.
Yes.
For sure. And so I think when someone is taking out an equity line on their home, they don't even think about this being something that happens.
Exactly. And what I wanted to talk about today is really how to prep for an appraisal. Because I see too many people, they think it's just another step in the process and they don't worry.
It is.
Mm-hmm. But it's something
within your control, though.
Right, exactly. If you prep for it, you have a much better chance of success. And if you're looking to get a HELOC, you want that number to come in as high as possible.
Right.
Right? When you're selling your home or you're buying the home, and let's say you put an offer in for $410,000. As long as that number comes in at $410,000 or higher, you know, it's nice to have equity, but it doesn't affect the numbers.
Right.
As long as it comes in at least value. Now, if it comes in below, it's definitely a conversation.
Right. But what I think people don't realize is how subjective that number can be sometimes, because a home can be completely trashed, like just awful, like, you know, messy to high heaven, and you can't see through it to see that it's really a beautiful home. So that's something that shouldn't affect your value, but by all means it can.
And that's exactly what I wanted to talk about. You know, that first step being maybe the deep cleaning step, because, you know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when we're talking about an appraisal, it really has to do with putting your house in the best possible light so that you can get the highest value possible. And there's a lot of things that go into that. So we're going to talk about comparable homes in a few minutes. But since you talked about, cleaning and clutter and how the house looks. Let's start off with that. Okay, so when you are prepping for an appraisal, it is really important that your home is clean.
Absolutely. Even if you're a seller and you've already found your buyer, they've offered, you know, above asking, whatever, you think you're home free, but not necessarily. You know, that buyer is going to need your help to make that house look just as beautiful for the appraiser as you did for them.
Right. So that's why when we have our sellers, we talk to them about, don't start the hardcore packing till after the appraisal. And it's not because I'm worried about the appraisal. It's because I want the appraisal to go as smoothly as possible. And I want that house to be show ready still.
Yes.
For the appraisal. So if you're looking at refinancing, having your house clean and extremely decluttered is important.
Right. So that way it shows well to the appraiser even.
Exactly. Exactly. Because we all have walked into houses that's a 2,000 square foot house and it doesn't feel like a 2,000 square foot house.
Right.
Right. So perception is reality. And that's one of the things I really want to key in on here with an appraisal is perception is 100% reality. The appraiser sees what you show them. Right. And they do an amazing job and they're pulling comps. And they know what the values are and everything. But those little differences in the house make a huge difference if you're presenting it in the right light.
Because realistically, in terms of a value isn't a dollar amount until it's sold. But prior to, it's kind of a range.
It's subjective.
Yeah. Yeah. So you really want to be at the top end of that range, unless, you know, in a case of a divorce, you want it to be at the lower end. you know, that happens with people too.
Yes. But even there, they want the most value possible.
Yes.
Yes. I get it though. So what you're looking at there is that deep cleaning and that decluttering to allow the home to show in the best possible light. The idea of making the space as large as it can be. So, you know, when we did when we've gotten appraisals on our houses, we've gone through all the steps. Now, when we moved, it was a whole different kind of appraisal because we had had the house show ready and we were doing everything that we've ever told a seller to do to their house to make sure that our house showed in the best possible light and could create the best demand for our home.
You were really good about that. You said, hey, I'm holding, you know, our client's feet to the flames to say, these are the things you need to do. What kind of realtor would I be if I didn't do them? So we sat down and made a whole list and doggone it, he did everything. He was pulling things out of the cupboards so that way
the closets appeared bigger.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And all that. It just, yeah.
But for a refinance or an appraisal, that decluttering is important. And making sure rooms have flow is important. Making sure that you're able to highlight them in their best possible light. I think fireplaces are really interesting because there's people that love their fireplaces and there's people that never use their fireplaces. And the ones that don't use their fireplaces have furniture in front of it sometimes. And you walk into the room and you're like, this is an amazing room. And you're not highlighting the best aspect of the room. And it's lost.
Right.
Right.
Because an appraiser will give value to a fireplace, whether a buyer is interested in it or not.
Right. So to back up a tiny bit, let's talk about what an appraiser is supposed to do. So what an appraiser does is they come in and they look at the comparable homes in the area that have sold in the last 6 months or a year. So they're looking at what is comparable to your home out there that is sold and what are the values of those homes, right? So they're trying to stay in same number of bedrooms, similar square footage, similar style, 100% in the same school district, right?
By style, you mean ranch, colonial.
Exactly, right?
By level, yeah.
Yep, and if they can stay in your subdivision, they're going to stay in your subdivision. If you're rural and you're on 5 acres, obviously they may have a harder time finding something on 5 acres, so they'll expand out some of the other stuff, right? But they want to stay as tight as possible. So people will say, well, my neighbor down the street sold for $70,000 more than my house just appraised for. How did that happen? And I'd say, well, your neighbor's home was 300 square foot bigger, or your neighbor's home had a finished basement and you didn't have a finished basement.
It was built 3 years ago and your home is 40 years old.
Yes, that happens as well.
It does.
Right? So what we do is when we're prepping for appraisal, we do the exact same job as the appraiser does. We pull in all those comps and everything. Now, as a homeowner getting a equity line of credit or refinancing, obviously you don't have access to that information, right?
Right.
But you still have an idea of what you think your house might be worth. Maybe you're looking on Zillow, which you said isn't always accurate. They're getting better, but they're not always accurate. Sometimes they're pretty far off. But again, you're just trying to get the best possible value you can there. And things that become important are, what have you done to the home? What are the improvements that you've put into the home? And are you making sure the appraiser knows about those improvements?
Absolutely. Having a list prepared really goes a far way, especially even in terms of if you know the year that you replaced that furnace, you know, the roof, exactly, the other things.
Well, you know, that's the interesting thing. People will say, well, I put on a new roof. It cost me $50,000. Is that going to increase the value of my house $50,000? Well, no, it's not, right? But it is going to have an impact, because if your roof is 20 years old, they're going to take value away from your house because they know the roof needs to be replaced.
Right.
Right?
But if you're about to sell and your roof isn't great, but it's okay, it does not make sense to just slap a new roof on, because you don't get dollar for dollar. There's a lot of improvements that...
Right.
You just don't get the same value.
Exactly. But those things like granite countertops, remodeled bathrooms, remodeled kitchens, new flooring, wood flooring, LVP, I put in new carpeting, new light fixtures. Yeah. Those things all make an impact on an appraisal.
Absolutely.
If your home is outdated, that makes an impact on your appraisal, right?
Yeah.
Now, one of the things I like to tell sellers is a buyer will decide within the first 30 seconds of walking through a home whether they like it or not. And if they like it, they will overlook those flaws. But if they don't like it, they'll see every single flaw.
But the dirty little secret is an appraiser works kind of the same way too.
They work the exact same way. Yeah.
So that's kind of wild. So when it happens where an appraiser doesn't give you the value that you thought it would, what recourse do you have? What happens there?
Well, you know, that all depends on what you're trying to do.
Right.
Right. So if you're purchasing a home, in every case, you can dispute an appraisal. And if you dispute an appraisal, the appraiser is going to say, you need to give me different comparable homes than the ones that I used. And you need to show me the reason why it should be of more value. Right?
Right.
That has a very low success rate in terms of getting it changed over, right?
Right.
An easier one is switching lenders and getting a brand new appraisal. That's completely new.
So let me get this straight. You can't just order a new appraisal with the same lender?
No, you're not allowed to do that.
Mm-mm. Because an appraisal is arm's length. It's not connected to that lender. It's not connected to any of the agents.
It's an independent third party. It's an independent
third party that has determined this value.
Yes.
And just because you didn't like it doesn't mean that they can do anything else with it. So you're kind of stuck.
Exactly.
Or that lender, that appraisal that has happened, what you're looking at.
Yes. That being said, if you are buying a house and if it's an FHA loan, you can't even get away from that appraisal by changing lenders. That appraisal sticks with the house for 6 months. Now, that being said, if you're doing a refinance, you can go to a new lender and get a brand new appraisal. So if you completely disagree with the number, and I've seen appraisals being $50,000, $60,000 less than what you thought it was worth, and then go to a new lender, and lo and behold, the new appraisal comes in and it's a better value.
That seems crazy. How can that possibly happen?
Well, that's because it does. No, that's because it's an opinion.
Yeah.
It's an independent third party opinion. Now, part of that is you're prepping harder for the second appraisal. So then this list that we're about to go over, you're actually doing these things and they're making an impact, right?
Right.
You know, it's so interesting though, because remember, we all have bad days, right?
Yeah.
An appraiser can have a bad day. An appraiser can not see a comp, or something that you're very good at. And I'm good at when I talk to appraisers and such, but you talk to our sellers about it all the time. If there's a distressed property that is a comparable, you need to let the appraiser know about that. Honestly, and why not use it.
Okay. So in our old neighborhood that we did a ton of business in, there was a comp that looked wonderful on paper and on the computer. And so the appraiser would see that and know that. But that house sold $40,000 less than it should have. So, of course, the other realtors that weren't as familiar with the neighborhood priced it against this one and devalued the properties. But number two, the appraisers thought, well, geez, you know, if this house sold for $40,000 less, then the houses in this neighborhood must not be the case. Well, we were able to make a case to the appraiser to say, look, what you didn't see is that this particular house had a heavy smoker in it, and the whole house reeked of smoke. And so that hugely devalued the property. So the neighboring house shouldn't be affected by that just because they had a neighbor with a distressed property. And so by sharing these things with the appraiser, they traditionally have been very appreciative of that because that helps offer context as to why a home was worth so much less.
Exactly.
Pets too.
Pets too. Pets make it. But that idea of the distressed property, we know how much it costs to try to get a smoker smell out of a house or try to get a cat smell out of a house, right?
Yes.
Smoker's even worse because you have to repaint. Having that conversation with an appraiser. So how we're different than a lot of realtors is I meet the appraiser there, right?
Some realtors do that.
Some do. A lot don't.
I feel like a lot don't.
Right. But I meet every appraiser at the house and I walk them through the house and I talk to them about the value of the home and I give them a list of all the improvements in the home and I tell a story. Remember, when you are getting your home appraised, if you are a seller, if you're a buyer, if you're a homeowner and you're refinancing, you're telling a story about your house.
Make the case.
Make the case for it. List out your improvements. Declutter your house. Clean your house. Have it show ready as if your house was ready to go on the market, right? So when we get an appraisal done, I will tell people, listen, you need to get rid of all this clutter and all these boxes and everything in the basement, because if the appraiser comes through and they see that there's no room in the house, you have a small house, right? Now, they're going to do the comps and everything, but remember, if you're looking to get $10,000 over asking, when your agent came through and they said, hey, this is what the house is worth, if the offer's $20,000, $30,000 more than that, then all of a sudden we're stretching on the appraisal. And it becomes that much more important to tell a good story, which is there's a lot of room in the house. We've made a lot of improvements to the house. It's got good feng shui. Its curb appeal is amazing, right?
Right. This house is worth this number of dollars.
Right. That landscaping becomes important, right?
Yeah, all the little details.
All the little details. And I had on here, lighting is really important. Make sure you turn all your lights on when the appraiser comes in.
Absolutely. That's such a simple little thing.
But right.
By not having to turn on lights, everything being well lit, bright, allows them to move through more quickly. They do take photographs, by the way, of the home. I don't know if people realize this.
Yep. They measure every room of the house. You get to finally find out what your true square footage is, because please understand that sometimes the public record is wrong. You know, it does happen.
But you need to have that official backup. We have had people before, as we went to list the house, and they said, well, my house has 2,800 square feet, but the public record has it as 2,200. And if we have some kind of backup for that, then we can list it. But just because you think your house is 2,800 square feet doesn't mean that it is.
Basement square footage does not count.
Correct.
I don't care how well finished your basement is. I don't care that it's a walkout. It does not count as official square feet. Is it important? Yes.
It is, but it's below grade.
Right.
So that's the difference. If you want to know what it is, what can be counted and what can't, it gets counted in a different way. But if it is underground, if it is below sea level, but you know, below the entry level, then unfortunately it's not part of the square footage.
It's not part of the official square footage. And there's some differences if you're in a bi-level, tri-level, a quad.
Fair.
And we're not going to get into those small differences and everything. But just understand your finished basement is important. But when you're looking at your square footage, it's not part of the official square footage.
Correct.
Right? So one of the things I wanted to talk about is that whole idea of real estate being location, location, location. It makes an impact on your appraisal as well. Are you at the front of the sub? Are you at the back of the sub? Do you have a view of the water? Do you have a view of the freeway? Those things make an impact on your value. And there's a difference to the impact it makes on your demand when you're selling your home versus the impact it makes when you're refinancing your home. But don't think that it doesn't make an impact. And don't think that those arborvitaes that you planted at the back of your lot so that you didn't see the neighbor don't matter, because they can impact the value of your home.
That can help.
It can help.
There's a whole business case, yep. You know, in terms of planting bushes, you know, certainly not cheap, but it's not outrageously expensive, but that can really help.
Right. So we've had sellers before that have had to go talk to their neighbors before they listed the house, and had to go talk to their neighbors again 2 or 3 days before an appraisal of the house.
Right.
Why did they need to talk to their neighbors?
Were they next door to the Clampets, maybe?
Yes. So those things actually make an impact on your appraisal, or can potentially make an impact on your appraisal. So making sure that the junk is out of your neighbor's yard and that you can't see it from your front porch or your back deck can actually make an impact on the value of your home. And I want to preface this all with saying, remember again, that an appraisal is an opinion. That is not a lockdown. Oh my God, this is what my house is worth.
But it's a professional opinion.
It is.
And those are professionals that very much know what they're doing.
They 100% do.
Where I see the biggest difference is the value given to updating. So if a home is not updated, in some cases, they really get dinged more than others. Or someone thinks that they've updated it, but they updated it 5 to 10 years ago. And guess what? That's not so up to date anymore.
Right. Yeah, no, that's very true. So if you're a buyer, remember, you're paying for the appraisal with your lender. You're not paying for that appraisal till after the inspection is done. And then the appraisal happens. Your agent has nothing to do with that appraisal. They can't talk to the appraiser. They're not meeting the appraiser. It's at true arm's length.
Right.
Right. If you're a seller, you're not the one paying for the appraisal, but your agent is meeting the appraiser. It is very important to you that the home comes in at value, because you don't want an issue afterward in terms of having to negotiate that difference. So all parties have a vested interest in that appraisal coming up at a good value.
Right. Because right? When it doesn't, what happens in the middle of a real estate transaction sale? If some house does not appraise.
Well, you know, at that point, that's a negotiation.
Right.
Right. If the house does not appraise for value, the buyer has a right to walk away at that point, get their earnest money deposit back. Now, I would say over 90% of the time, the two parties are able to come to some sort of agreement, right?
Right. Because they still want to buy the house.
They do. And we've had appraisals that came back and it was so far off that our advice to our client was to switch lenders.
Right.
Like we do not agree with this. We will try to dispute it, but it's so far off. Let's try a new lane.
But in the case, as people would offer above asking, in some cases, lo and behold, it appraises for what it was listed at.
Yes.
You know, and the buyer offered well above asking, but they don't have the extra cash. So generally speaking, it's either the buyer that's coming up with the extra cash. So they're still paying the same amount for the house, but they're not able to finance as much.
Right.
Or it's the seller who has to eat that amount and only accept what the value is that it came in at, or more likely than not, somewhere in the middle.
Yes. Yep. So those are the two sides there. If you're outside of a real estate transaction, you're talking about refinancing or an equity line of credit, you're paying for that appraisal. And the only way to get around it is to dispute it or to go to a new lender. Understand it's okay to go to a new lender. It's okay to say, okay, I did not agree with this. I'm going to pause 3 or 4 months and then I'm going to try it again. You know, the value could change and such. But in all cases, that's where doing the right things makes an impact. And one thing that I forgot, that I am shocked at people that don't put this on here. If you're in a community that has amenities that only you get, okay, you have beach access, you have lake access, there's a community pool, there's playgrounds, there's, you know,
walking paths,
right? All of those things are important things to let your appraiser know about, because sometimes if you don't tell them, they're not going to give you the value.
right? And you're paying for it in your HOA dues anyway, right? So you may as well get the benefit for that.
Right.
Don't just take it for granted.
Right. So my advice to the non-real estate person, because obviously real estate agents, they know about appraisals. They know how to prep for appraisals. They know how to hopefully help determine value of a home for an appraisal. But if you are a homeowner and you're saying, well, I'm going to go get refinanced next week. I'm gonna have an appraisal.
A HELOC. So anytime we're saying refinance, whether it's refinancing or a HELOC,
right?
That's pretty much the exact same
process. Yes. So, but if you're going to go out and you're going to get an equity line of credit, you're like, hey, I want to do some improvements to my home. I want to get an equity line of credit so I can refinish the kitchen, right? So I can put on an addition, you know, or even to pay bills, right? Now you're saying, okay, well, what do I need to do that can have the absolute biggest impact for the least amount of money, right? I would say, as we said earlier, number one, clean, maybe hire someone to clean your home.
Which we have great people.
Yes.
You can look back to some of our prior episodes.
Number two, make sure all the lights in your house work. You have the same style of light bulb in all your rooms. Don't have white lights in one room and yellow lights in another room. Number three, make sure that your furniture makes sense, that you can walk from one room into another room, that the rooms feel as big as they do. It is amazing the rooms I go into that, like, this is a 14 by 16 room and it feels like a 10 by 10 because there's so much furniture.
Yeah.
Right? All of those things make an impact on your appraisal. Have a list with you on the counter that you can give them that says, hey, these are the things I've done to my house while I've been a homeowner. You know, those things add up. You know, the improvements you've done, the repairs you've done that have cost you money, you know, the new roof, the new hot water heater, the water softener, the new flooring, all of those things make an impact. You put a new insert in for your gas fireplace, that makes an impact. Remember, your appliances are fixtures to the home that stay with the home. The money you spent on that new cooktop, that, you know,
dishwasher,
all impact the price of your home, right?
Technically, I think it's not supposed to, but realistically, what we see in practice.
But what I'm saying is those little things can make a those little impacts can add up to a big impact in terms of the perceived value of your home and the chance of getting a good appraisal versus the chance of getting a okay or not good appraisal.
Right. Because realistically, if you leave wet towels on the ground and there's junk all over the counter, and because it's not just that appraiser themselves as they go through, they're taking their photos, but it's their office that reviews everything.
Right.
Right.
And make sure the appraiser's comfortable. So if you have a big dogs that are jumping all over the place, you know, put the dogs in a crate, put the dogs out in the yard, give the dogs to a neighbor during the appraisal. Make sure the appraiser feels comfortable. They're able to do their job in a nice atmosphere where they don't feel bothered, right, and they're not rushing through it.
I've had some thank me before to say, boy, thank you so much for making sure everything is clean.
Exactly, because that way when you get that, it can have an impact. Imagine you go through all this work and you're like, hey, you know, I thought my home was going to be worth $325. The appraisal came in at $350, and now I have, you know, $25,000 more available on that home equity, right?
Right.
Or I thought my house was worth $350. It actually came in at $350. You don't know if what you did made a huge impact, but if you didn't do it and the appraisal comes in not where you wanted.
Right.
You know, imagine if you had done
it. Makes a big difference.
Exactly. You know, have I missed anything? I've jumped around a lot here.
Yeah, I'm sorry if we've been all over the place, guys. But, you know, it's just taking this particular topic, and it's not as cut and dry as these are the comps, but it's, you know, generally for us in our job, that's what helps the most. And if you want to know how much your house is worth, honest to goodness, I know everyone wants to just look up online, but when you have a trusted realtor that you know and you trust and you just want to know what's it worth right now, I'm not looking to sell, but I'd like to actually know, or better yet, if you're interested in making an improvement. We've had clients do this before to say, hey, if we blow out this wall, or, you know, we're thinking one bedroom instead of three bedrooms, you know, is this a good idea? Then talking to your local trusted realtor can let you know what kind of impact those in value, those improvements would make.
100%. You know, I love helping people out. I know myself, you, we have no problem sitting down talking to someone to say, hey, we're thinking about doing these improvements, or we're going to be going in to get a HELOC, right? What do you think our house is worth right now? Or what can we do to improve that in the short term?
Right.
Right. Because those little things, like we said, make an impact, and having a outside opinion come in, you see your house in a different light than everyone else sees your house. And here's the interesting one. How many of us have in our lifetime gone on vacation and then come back and been like, does my house really smell like this?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
You don't know. You know, and maybe it's even a good smell. Maybe your house always smells like candles, right? But the appraiser can think, or the buyer can think, what is this smell covering up, right? You don't see your house in the same way as other people do. So having a independent, fresh set of eyes come in can make a huge impact, and just like getting that fresh start of like, these are the things I can do. These are the things I need to do. And here's the biggest thing, and I'm going to leave it on this, and I know that you're going to add to it. How many clients have we had that went through the list of all the stuff that we had them do to get their house ready? And then they're like, oh my God, is this really my house? Why didn't my house always look like this?
Right. It happens time and time again of like, geez, I don't even know why I'm moving anymore now, because this house is beautiful. It's fascinating.
Right.
But it definitely impacts things. So understand the appraisal, how that works, how that is important, and why a seller would want the house to appraise, because you don't want to have that negotiation, right?
No, everyone in the transaction wants the same thing. And when you are getting a HELOC, the bank wants the same thing as you want. Everyone wants the home
to lend you more money.
Right. They all want the home to appraise for a higher value. What can you do to help that?
But the thing is, they're being responsible, because there was a time where homes were overvalued. So those banks are just being level-headed, responsible, and having the data where more than just the appraiser looks through. And so everybody collectively all agrees to what the value of the home is. And so everyone can feel confident moving forward.
100%.
And that snapshot in time, because it's always just a snapshot.
It is. It's a snapshot for that day.
Yeah.
You could have a house list down the street 3 weeks later that was 40,000 higher or 40,000 lower. And if you had a new appraisal done, your value would be different.
Yeah.
Right. But one last thing, if you have not bought or sold since 2005, 2008, the appraisal is very different now. They are not just driving by and giving you a value.
Right.
They're coming to your house. They're walking through the rooms. They're taking measurements. They're taking pictures. Sometimes they're looking in the attic.
It can take up to an hour.
It can take up to an hour.
Yeah.
Yep.
The banks are being very responsible. So,
and that's a good thing.
That's a positive thing for all parties involved. So hopefully you've understood the process a little bit better, how it impacts things, and how it can work best to your own benefit.
100%. So if you have any questions about appraisals, please reach out to us. You can find us at welcometolivingston.com. If you've enjoyed this episode, please like and subscribe. Check out some of our other episodes. You can find us anywhere you can find podcasts. You can also find us on YouTube, or just check out our Facebook page at Welcome to Livingston at Facebook. So thank you so much for joining us today. And welcome to Livingston.